continue looking at 2 Peter, as I've spoken from a few times now. And we're going to be looking at the first 15 verses of verse chapter 1 and really focusing in a bit on verses 5 through 15. So we're going to start by reading those verses, and if you're using one of the Bibles in the seats in front of you, that would be on page 1018. Come with me as I read. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Let's bow before the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you, Lord, for your work, your sovereign work in accomplishing so much in our lives to those who have put their trust in you, who have come to you by faith. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in our lives tonight, even as we consider what you have for us here in these words. And Lord, I ask God that you would help me to be a skillful messenger of your word. Lord, protect me from speaking error and help me to speak clearly for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to look first at verses 12 to 15, and then we'll go back. So we're going to start kind of at the end and then move backwards. So in verses 12 to 15, Peter is giving his intent in writing these things, and he makes it pretty clear what his intent is. If you look in verse 12, it says, to always remind you. In verse 13, to stir you up by way of reminder. And in verse 15, that you may be able at any time to recall some stuff. He wants us to remember it always and at any time. In verses 13 and 14, he says that he's going to say these things as long as he is alive. And it is appropriate that he reminds them of these things. And there is an urgency because the Lord has made it clear that his time is maybe coming soon where he won't have this opportunity. And by God's grace and great wisdom, we still have these reminders before us as they are in his holy word. But Peter says, I think it is right, as long as I'm this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. These are reminders are important because they're intended to stir the Christian up, those who he is writing to. They're to be stirred to action. So it's important that we know what these reminders are. So in verse 12, he says, therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities. It says qualities in the ESV. And you may have noticed that when I read that, I read of these things. And actually, I changed that word in my Bible. And you might say, Gary, what are you doing? You can't just change God's word. Verse 8, you'll see those same words, these qualities. And you'll see a little footnote marker there, a little 6 by that, that'll lead you to the bottom of the page. And it says there, Greek, these things, also in verses 9, 10, and 12. So there's 4 places in this passage that the translators have chosen to use the word these qualities. And I would say that in verses 8, 9, and 10, that's an appropriate translation because it is specifically obvious that it's speaking to those qualities that are stated in verses 7 and 8. But in verse 10, they're all pointing back to that. But in verse 12, it says, I want to remind you of these. I don't think he's just talking about those qualities. He's looking at much more. And perhaps he's speaking, he wants to remind them of, well, for sure, the things that he's written prior, and perhaps some of the things that he's written after this in this writing. But tonight we'll be looking at the things that he wrote prior. So here is the main point. Godly reminders lead to godly action and assurance. Godly reminders lead to godly action and assurance. And under that, we're going to have four sections. Reminders of God's gifts, which we have in Jesus Christ. The call to action. 2 paths and 2 results. So let's begin with reminders of God's gifts, which we have in Jesus Christ. And this takes us back to the beginning of this book. In verse 1, God gives Christians faith. Peter says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Several months ago, when I spoke on that passage, we saw that this faith is given by God. This faith is given as by God's perfect will. It is by his sovereign choosing that we have this faith. He has all power and authority, and he gives faith. And this faith is effective in all Christians. It's the same faith. It's effective, and it's a faith that leads to eternal life. Number 2, God gives all the resources for victorious Christian living. And actually, we're going to see a lot of stuff that I just talked about 2 weeks ago here. In verse 3, It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have all that we need to live the victorious Christian life because of God's power. And that power is rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which leads us to point number three. God gives us a relationship with his Son. As we continue on in verse 3, it says, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. The knowledge, knowing Christ. It is through the gospel that we are able to know Christ. He is the glorious one. He is God. And he is the excellent one. He is the perfect man, the only man who never sinned, never thought a bad thought, never spoke a bad word, never did a sinful action. He's the only one that ever perfectly gave glory to God and honor to God with his life. And through the gospel, through his work on the cross, we can have a relationship with him through faith. And that leads us to number four. God gives us promises. In 4 it says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Through the gospel, through the life, perfect life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God, through the gospel, God has provided us, has granted to us his precious and very great promises. As if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, stated that this is the fuel for victorious Christian living, his promises. And these promises are precious. They came at a great price. They came from God through the death of his own son, Jesus. He paid the penalty for our sin, for the sin of all who had put their trust in him. And his payment is complete. It's confirmed by his resurrection from the dead, and he is now at the Father's right hand, interceding for all those who belong to him. Number five, God gives us transformation. We see that also in verse 4. So that through them, through these precious and very great promises, we may be partakers of the divine nature. Our lives begin to change when we come to Christ, becoming more like Christ in his sinless human perfection as he lived on this earth. We put away sin. We are changed. And one day we will be changed completely and will not experience sin anymore. 6, God gives us victory. At the end of verse 4, it says, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God gives us new desires, desires to honor him, desires that are not selfish and not sinful desires. We still struggle with those things, but our desire is to honor him and to glorify him if we are in Christ, if we have that saving faith that he spoke of in verse 1. Well, these promises that I spoke of are the fuel for the Christian life. Think of it. If we didn't have God's promises, if we didn't have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, if we didn't have the assurance that our sins were forgiven, if we didn't have the assurance that one day we would be in heaven with Jesus, with no sin, no crying, no pain, if we didn't have these promises, where would we be? what would we have? Well, Peter wants to remind us of all of these things. He wants to remind us of these things, wants us to take action. These reminders should move us to action. Peter wants to remind us of these things, but God wants to remind us of these things. This is God's word and God's wanting us to act. So, the call to action. Verses 5 through 7 say, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." So here it says we're to make every effort for this reason, because of God's great promises, because of all the things that he said before, all the gifts of God, we are to take action. We are to make every effort. This is continual action. We are to cultivate these qualities that are in this list here. 2:10, which comes right after 2:8 and 9, of course, which is a very familiar verse related to our salvation being fully through Christ and not of our own doing, but it's for we are God's workmanship, created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So these good works are fueled by these qualities. These qualities produce good works. Now, the way that this list is set up, it says add to your faith virtue, and to virtue this and that and that. I do not believe this is intended to be a list that one is to be built upon, like some spiritual Jenga game. But these are things that are to be feeding our faith. Because faith is the foundation of everything. It all began when God gave us faith in his Son. And faith is going to carry us through to the end, to our entrance into his presence. So these qualities are to feed our faith. And you'll notice in this list of qualities, the last of the qualities is love. And love is the greatest and really the culmination of all of God's commands. Love. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love is the goal. So if you want to look at these, you can say faith is the foundation, love is the goal, and these qualities are what bring us to the goal. Paul put it this way when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5. Says, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and good conscience and a sincere faith." So faith is the foundation, love is the goal. So we are exhorted to make great effort, every effort, to develop or cultivate these qualities in our lives. So let's look very quickly at these qualities. We don't really have a lot of time to spend on each one. But first, add to your faith or supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue here is actually the same word that is used in verse 3 when it speaks of his glory and excellence, Christ's glory and excellence. That word excellence is the same word as virtue here. So it's speaking of moral character. It's speaking of putting off sin and becoming more like Christ in that regard. Moral character. And then to virtue, after virtue we have knowledge. And this word for knowledge here is not the strong word of knowledge like we know Christ, but we're getting to know about him. We're investigating, we're studying. It is channeled towards Christ and towards God, but it's one that takes effort. Knowing him, studying the scriptures, knowing his word, which is the source of knowledge. Knowing that God is the source of knowledge, these are his, it means to pray, to understand his word. Self-control. Self-control is doing what is healthy. Self-control is resisting the things that may be harmful. Athletes, they have very strict diets and very strict exercise regimens. That's self-control. It's sacrificial. It's not just feeding yourself with everything you desire. Steadfastness. This is patient endurance. It's perseverance. That's perseverance even under extreme situations. Peter, in his first letter, spoke to the church that was enduring persecution and suffering. And he told them to hang in there. That's steadfastness. Godliness. This is a Godward devotion or reverence. It's our attitude towards God, seeking his purposes, seeking his glory. Then brotherly affection. Brotherly affection is growing in our affection for the people of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our family. Sort to cultivate brotherly affection. And then love, the pinnacle of it all, love. This is agape love, selfless, sacrificial love, with no expectation of return. And who is our example of that? But only Jesus Christ, the one who loved perfectly, who displayed that perfectly. And we see in such common verses that truth expressed. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He's the supreme example of love. So the encouragement here is that we need to cultivate these qualities in our lives. If we cultivate these qualities in our lives, we can either do that or we can neglect that. So we have two paths. We have two paths to take. Two options. And Peter speaks of those in verses 8 and 9. So if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Now, I would suggest that these qualities, or I would contend that these qualities exist in every believer. Because these qualities are brought by the Holy Spirit. There's another list that I'm sure you're all familiar with. I know the ladies in the Tuesday night Bible study are familiar with. They're the fruit of the Spirit, seen in Galatians 6, 5-6. And it's very similar to this list. But these are the things that are apparent in our lives, at least to some degree, if we have the Spirit of God, if we belong to Jesus Christ, if we have put our trust in Him. These qualities are there. But these are qualities that need to be cultivated. These are qualities that need to be exercised. So the question is, are you putting effort into cultivating these qualities? It takes effort. Peter said to make every effort. Now, in the translation here in ESV, it says, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, which isn't an uncommon translation. Other translations will use the word abundant, if these are abundant. And I would say that abundant is probably more the idea here, or overflowing. They are of great quantity in your life. They're growing. It's not a matter of quantity. If they are increasing, it's not like this week. I think I'm 5% improved from last week. Oh, this week 3% down. It's not something that we measure. It's something that should be overflowing continually from our lives. It's kind of like the River City Grace purpose statement, which says our purpose is to see God exalted as His grace and truth in Jesus Christ abound in and overflow to more and more people. You'll see that in your bulletin each Sunday, if you haven't noticed it. But there's an abundance of these qualities that we are to cultivate in our lives. So if we are going to cultivate these in our lives, the result is, so the two results, the result of overflowing action is that we will not be ineffective or unfruitful. We will be effective and fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will know Christ more. We will love Him more. And it's kind of like a snowball. We love Him more. We're going to do these things more. If these are growing and abounding and overflowing in our lives, in your life, you will grow in knowing and becoming more like Jesus. You'll see that there in verse 8. Or in verses 10 through 11, which I'll read. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I have really four things that are a result of cultivating these qualities in our lives. And one, as I said, knowing and becoming more like Christ. Two, that assurance that we belong to God. It says, confirm your calling and election. You are His. And you'll be confident of that. These qualities are abounding in your life. And you will not stumble or stray from the faith. It says, you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And then the great end of it all, you will receive a rich entrance into heaven. The great promise, the great promise. And you'll be anticipating that because you'll know that this is going to be great. Because you're getting to know Jesus more and more. And you're knowing what it's like more and more to live a life that we will live for eternity with him. But if we neglect, if we are inactive in cultivating these qualities, the result is much different. It says, for whoever lacks these is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Now, I think there's kind of varying ways that this could be taken. I know as reading commentaries, there were varying ways that this is especially taken. But I would say that these qualities are present, as I said, in the believer. And these qualities are qualities that need to be cultivated, or they won't be overflowing. They may be there to some degree, but the result of that kind of life is going to lead to a lack of assurance. It's going to lead to doubt. It's going to lead to struggle with sin because our faith is weak. We have not fed our faith with these qualities. You feed your faith, you'll have strong assurance. You feed your faith, you'll have victory over sin. You feed your faith, you'll have great anticipation of a warm welcome in heaven. You neglect these things, I can't imagine anything worse than being a struggling Christian, knowing that you're all the time that you're displeasing the Lord. We need to take action. First, we need to know Jesus if any of this is going to apply. We need to have that faith. That faith in what he did on the cross. That faith that is all sufficient. It's the complete sacrifice for our sins, and we belong to God. So this is rooted in knowing Jesus. If you are struggling, we have a body here to help you. This is where we grow. This is where we help the weak, the faint-hearted. Connect with somebody. Read the scriptures with somebody. Pray with somebody. If you are neglecting these qualities, if you are just lazy and not giving any attention to them, I'd urge you, repent. And if you don't know Jesus, again, you need to repent. You need to turn to him. He's the only way. He's the only hope for the future. Well, again, Peter wrote, I think it is right, as long as I am this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. God gives us many ways of reminder. He gives us his word. And he gives us object lessons. And tonight we get the privilege of experiencing one of those object lessons, remembering the work of Christ as we take the bread and the cup. So we'll be doing that in just a moment, but let me pray now as we conclude. Father in heaven, Lord, you are the kind, gracious, loving God. We saw this morning as Tim shared. Lord, and you want us to come to you. You want us to depend on you. Lord, you don't leave us alone. You don't ask us to do these things, just grunt them out. But you've given us your Spirit. You have given us the Helper that we are reminded. You've given us your Word. You've given us each other. Lord, you have given us so much. Lord, we thank you so much for your Son who gave his life that we can know you. Lord, help us to be diligent. Help us to make every effort to put on these qualities that are honoring to you, that stoke our faith, that we could walk in full assurance of what we have in Christ, that we would walk confidently for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.